This is Rob Rock, and welcome to Mini Teaching. Today is the first recording of Mini Teaching here, and I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. I actually had a message planned. However, I had a real challenge in my life here that really just made me stop and think and address and deliberate my own life. So this talk is called The Love Factor. So I had something that happened in my life today that really challenged how much in my own capacity to love other people. And it really made me stare in the mirror, really, and look at myself and analyze myself and ask myself the question, why can't I love others? Why can't I love others the way that I need to? And, you know, I think a lot of times we use excuses, right? We use excuses. Well, this person hurt me, or I'm really not a people person. That's one thing, one that I like a lot. I use it quite a bit. Oh, I don't have very good people skills, or I'm not a pastor, or because I don't like that person, or what have you. And what we're really dealing with here is selfishness, right? Isn't that really just selfishness? Aren't we really just talking about the fact that we don't want to do something? I, right? Selfish. Selfishness. Adam and Eve dealt with selfishness in the Garden of Eden. They had a full utopia there. Everything, right? No weeds. Everything grew. They were able to walk with God in the cool of the day. How cool would that be, huh? To just walk with God. Never have to work. Everything that we would ever dream of, right? But they just couldn't do one thing. And they couldn't keep themselves away from that one thing. And I know for me, I look at them and I go, why couldn't you do that? You walked with God. I want that. But unfortunately, in my life, and in others, I'm sure, we have the same problem, right? Selfishness. What's selfishness? Self-preservation. It's a human problem. We want to live. We want to live. We want to be okay. We want to have a good job. We want to have a good life. We want to have people that love us and care for us. We want to have all our needs met. Right? Selfish. Selfish. If things don't come across that, we say we don't want to have anything to do with it. So because of that, who are our friends? People that love us. People that take care of us. People that are nice to us, right? You look at someone and you say, oh, they're really nice. What that means is they're really nice to me. They're really nice to me. Selfishness. If we didn't have a will to live, we'd live a reckless life, right? Who cares? We're going to die. Or we'd just commit suicide, right? Wouldn't we? But we have a will to live. We want everything taken care of. I'll be fine. If I just don't got to worry about things, if I just don't got to worry about money, if I just don't, is the thing really, isn't it? And what is that? Well, that's pulling God out of the picture, isn't it? Isn't it just really saying that I'm okay with my life as long as I can power it, as long as it's under my control? But that's what happens, right? When we're young, we sit in a life and our parents take care of us. And when we're an adult, we take care of us. We take care of us. I take care of me. I work hard. I deserve this. It's my job. It's my career. It's my kids. It's my house. Right? I is what it becomes when we become adults. Unfortunately, Jesus said we were to be like these children, right? Jesus sat down one day and a kid just jumped up on his lap and hugged him. And Jesus said, you should be like this kid. He trusted me entirely. He trusted me entirely, but we can't do that, right? Because he calls us to do some things that are really hard. He calls us to give. He calls us to sacrifice. He calls us to live by faith. Faith is not us. There is no I in faith, right? There's no I in faith. We have to trust God entirely. We have to surrender, right? Surrender. That big word that we don't like. We have to surrender. We have to give up control. I like control. I like everything to be under control. When things are not under control, I love to worry and fret, right? But that's what he says, right? The birds don't worry. Look at how beautiful that lily is. But we worry. We complain. We get all uptight and anxious and stressed. Why? Because it's out of our control. Well, it should be. It should be out of our control. Because it should be in his control. So we got to fight the selfishness, right? So that makes us wonder, what's selfishness then, right? Selfishness is sin. Selfishness is sin. And unfortunately, there's nothing that we as humans can do about sin. There's no other religion that's going to be able to take care of it. Living a good life is not going to be able to take care of it. Being a good person is not going to be able to take care of it. The only thing that's going to take care of sin is Jesus, the one who took all of our sin, who bared all of our sin, that came down and showed us how to deal with sin. The blameless one, right? The one that never sinned until sin was upon him, was placed upon him, right? That's what we have to do. We have to fight. But Paul says, even when I try not to sin, I sin, right? So that just means we have to run the good race, is what Paul says, right? Run the good race. I remember being a sprinter in high school, and you got up on the blocks. I wasn't one of those long-term runners that just jogged around for 20 miles. I was a sprinter. I'd get on the blocks. I'd hunker down. And I'd wait for that gun, or that signal. Wait! With all my energy, with all my might, with all my strength at the blocks, waiting for the time to beat everybody out of the gates. Right? Beat everybody out of the gates to what? To jog. No! No! To run! To fight! To get up on my tiptoes and give it my all of my strength, all that I am, and reckless abandon to the finish line. That's what we're called to do. We're called to put everything we are, everything we am, everything we can be, and run and fight against sin. And better than yet, we're called to give everything we are. And surrender it to God and his will. I know personally, I don't want to be the one that goes up and sees my life at the end with God as my father. And he looks at me and he shakes his head and he says, Rob, your life could have been so much more. It could have been so much more. I wanted so much more for you. I knew I grew up with a dad that was, it was never good enough. It was never good enough. Right? That's the last thing I want. I want to get to those gates and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear when I get there. Not, oh, Rob, yeah, you made it, but... Oh, you could have brought so many other people with you. Right? Because we don't care. We don't care. God calls us to do the things that are hard. He calls us to take care of the widows. Right? He calls us to live a clean and blameless life. Right? No fun? Oh! No, that's not what it means. It means to live blameless. It means to live pure. It means to run the race as best as you can. And let God take care of the rest. Right? And again, that's really the trick though, isn't it? That's just really the trick. Because there's nothing that we can do about sin. And we have to trust Jesus that came down to take care of sin. The only way to God, right? The only way to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody comes to the Father except for me. That was locked down only to the Jews for years and years and years. But Jesus came down and he gave us access to God. Right? The Gentiles, not only the Jews, everybody, access to God. Where there wasn't that, huh? Right? In the past, there wasn't that. It was just the Jews that accessed God, that was able to meet God and to see God and to know God, right? But he sent forth the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the guider, to show us the way. So then what do? We fight. How do we fight? We pray. We pray. We pray without ceasing is what Paul says, right? We pray without ceasing. We talk to him all the time. God. God, help me. God, help this person. Right? You communicate with him. You praise him. You praise him. And the last thing that you do is you give. You sacrifice. Which means that it costs you something. My mom had told me one time that to love is to be vulnerable. And you're not loving if it doesn't cost you something. And those are just things that have challenged me my whole life. Being a person that really struggles over loving. Right? I really struggle over it. It's very difficult for me. And there's a lot of reasons why, but it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse not to. He says, go out and make disciples of all men. Not if you're a pastor. Not if you're called to do that. Not if you're a natural people person. He says, go out and do it. Go out and do it. Make disciples of all men. Everyone. Everyone. Right? And that's the challenge. That's the difficult thing. But if you want to know God, if you want to know God, know his heart, you praise him and you get connected to his heart. If you want to know what he has to say, you pray and you will hear him. If you want to experience God, you serve and you become part of the body and you are able to be his hands to the hurting. Right? You're able to be that person. You're able to assume some parts of what Jesus did while he was here. Right? He hung out with the sick. He hung out with the lame. He healed the demon possessed. He was out with the people. Right? He taught, yes, but he was out with the people, teaching, healing, being God is what he was. He was being God. He was walking God. He was living God. Yet absolutely blameless, which is something that we can't do. So we fight, right? So we fight against this problem of sin and selfishness. We confess our sins to others, right? We rip open our hearts and our chests to another. And we say, look, here's my sin. Help me. Help me. And I'll help you. With our chests open wide, we unite with the body. Right? We put on our full armor of God, right? To resist the fiery arrows of the enemy. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers that try to take us down, try to bring us into temptation, try to distract us. Because the more good you do, the harder it becomes. The bigger blip you are on the enemy's radar. You get his attention. But a lot of times we go, well, isn't it supposed to be good? Right? When I turn Christian, is my life supposed to be better? Isn't everything supposed to be okay? You're very dangerous with that sort of thinking. You're very dangerous. Because he says that I'll discipline those who I love, right? He says that you're going to experience the pain that I experienced, right? You got to die to yourself and your cares and your wants, and then you will find the delights of this world through God. The good thing is it doesn't have to be us powered. It doesn't have to be us powered. We do our best, and then there's God. We don't need to worry about our money because there's God. We don't need to worry about where we live or the food that we have because there's God. We don't have to worry about where we're going to go in life because there's God. But we try to be God. Isn't that really what it is? Isn't that really the struggle of Adam and Eve? Knowledge, right? Knowledge. If I get this knowledge, I can become as wise as God. And that's what we do in our own lives when we self-power our lives. Oh, my life's under control. I got everything I need, everything I want. I'm okay, God. Right? Isn't that what we do? I'm just fine. But then we run to him when the life is bigger than us. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Why? Because the life is now bigger than you. Your problems are bigger than you. You don't have the solutions or the answers. Unfortunately, when life is good is when we really need to press into God and say, God, what else can I do? How can I be a benefit? You're not a benefit to God when you're not open to him, when you're not giving him any opportunity. And I know that's the problem with me too. The problem with me in loving people is the fact that I don't. That I'm not vulnerable. That I don't provide people the opportunity to love me and for me to love them. Right? Selfishness. Self-preservation. Self-protection. I. Me. The problem is really just not trusting God. And if you're at that place with me today, get down on your knees, confess your sins, find somebody else to confess them to as well, and cry out to God. If you've known him forever, or you're just knowing him now when you're hearing this, confess your sins to him, talk to him, plead with him, and allow him to forgive you and to walk in his power. So every day you do this again and again and again, because we must fight the race. We must fight to finish this race of life. Time is linear and it never stops. We must be real with ourselves. Tomorrow is tomorrow is tomorrow is tomorrow. And we will never get done what God wants us to do in our life. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. But I can tell you, whatever it is that God wants you to do, it is not about you. It is about someone else. And the big trial of this life and in your Christian life is to do things for others, to see the people in prison, to help the widows, to feed those that are hungry, to shelter those that are homeless, no matter what the cost, no matter what it costs us. Because whatever it costs us, God knows. Whatever it costs us, God knows. And He'll give it back to us if we would just believe, if we would just trust, and if we would look at the love factor for what it is. A lack of trusting God. This is Rob Rock, The Love Factor on Many Teaching.